For six generations, the Jones family has been providing high-quality meats. And now, we're providing treats for the best member of your family, man's best friend, aka the goodest boys and girls. Jones Natural Chews makes bones and treats that are sure to be savored by your dog, and are made from the best natural ingredients available. Our flavorful chews are made from natural animal parts, and will have your puppy drooling with happiness. From treats like sticks and chews, to savory bones and patties, we've got you covered for finding the perfect reward for that special pup in your life. Jones Natural Chews come in all sizes, so make sure to choose the right treat for your pup. And remember, it's important to be supervising your pup when they're enjoying their treats to keep your puppy safe. Jones Natural Chews, available at a pet store near you. Or visit jonesnaturalchews.com to get started with our store locator tool. That's Jones Natural Chews, available at a pet store near you.
Peace, peace, everyone. It's your girl, Sequoia Blue. We back in here with another episode. Happy to be here. We had a long day, and we got a special guest, Yannique. She is an event promoter. She got stuff going on. She's going to tell us about what's going on and what she has going on in her world, how her business started. So how's it going?
I am all good in the neighborhood. It's like 7:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right now. Ooh. So as I was telling Ms. Sequoia, listen, I am one dinner and a few drinks in, so y'all are going to get all the tea. Okay, so if you have questions, if you can't ask questions, ask them, because this is where you're going to get.
Yes, we got the comments going. Let's get the comments rolling.
Life is good. I have no real complaints. I'm here. I feel like I have gone through all the trials and tribulations this year, and I am still thriving, so I'm very happy about that. I'm just taking things one day at a time, trying to figure out my life, you know?
That's how it should be, because that's what life's about, one day at a time, because we all don't know everything, and things change. So tell me about what you do. Like, what? How did you get into this business?
All right, so you had said earlier that I'm an event promoter. Funny enough, I used to be, but I'm not anymore. Once upon a time, when I was in college, I literally used to, like, promote for nightclubs, right? I'm a sorority girl who used to, like, hang out all the time, Jamaican chick, right? So, you know, Jamaicans love to party. There's a Jamaican bathing, I don't even know how to point. There's a Jamaican bathing suit here.
Oh, nice.
I designed that, so that's a whole other story, but I'll tell y'all about that later. And I would go to these parties, right? And I'd promote and I'd fill up rooms. And I say to the promoters, like, hey, so who designs your flyers? And they'll tell me, and I'd be like, all right, well, how about I do that for a lower price and faster? So I started my graphic design company by designing flyers out of my bedroom, like my college dorm room. I moved back into my mom out of my bedroom in my mom's house. Then that paid for like my penthouse apartment in Miami. And I was doing that out of my little penthouse apartment in Miami by myself. Don't you love how I said penthouse Miami? Like, wait, what?
That's a big deal. Like a penthouse Miami? That's most people dream of that.
Like, sis, how do you put little and penthouse in Miami together?
That's not little. That's big boy. That's big boy style.
Right? But like, so it's funny because now I think it's little. Because I was like, oh, that's child's play. That's child's play. Because now I can do a completely different thing with my life and my finances and my resources, because I've been able to like level up in this way. But back to, you know, origin story, right? So I got really tired of having to go pick up my like money at like 4 o'clock. So if you don't know anything about like Miami, South Florida, like, clubs close at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And then by the time they're done counting all the money from the bar and the door, it's like, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock. And then you wait for your money. And then like you go with the club owners or the promoters, whichever, whoever you're friendly with, for breakfast after that. And then you go home. And so those are the people that I was kicking it with to make my money. And I was like, yo, I'm tired of this. Like, you know, I was like, I want to be at home with my man. You know, by this time I got myself a little boo thing and all that. All
right.
I want to be at home. And I'm like, I don't really like this. So how do I figure out a way to make, you know, comparable money with the same skill set? And then boom, I went into corporate America. I took that portfolio that I built in promotional events in nightlife and translated that same skill set into corporate America. And they were like, all right, we can rock with this. And I'm like, all right, cool. So going into corporate America, right? And I never got rid of my client list. What I would do is I'd hire other designers to fulfill or to work for my clients, but I'd always be the go-between. So my clients would always still come to me and I'd hire other designers to do the work while I went to 9 to 5 and kick it with my man. And it was just like, oh, y'all can mail the check now because, you know, sis got corporate money, so she don't need that money to pay rent. You know, it's cool.
All right now.
Then I got to a place where I kept getting laid off from corporate America. Like, there was a time where I was working for a company for like 2-3 months and then they laid me off and I was like, whoa, what happened? They're like, yeah, like they brought like all of us into a room and then they were like, yeah, everybody except that guy is done. I'm like, whoa,
dang,
what you just hired us, like we just started, like bitch just bought a new car, like
dang.
And that kind of scenario, not necessarily the 3 month thing, but like just being laid off kept happening to me. And at first I thought, yo, it's me. And then like upon reflection, I realized it wasn't me because those same people who were laying me off, right? Like the actual people would still like kick it with me and check in on me and like be like, yo, we have like a freelance project we can give you for like, you know, a couple months or whatever. So it's like, it's clearly that they don't like me and it's clearly not because I don't do the job well. The company just was structured in a way where it made more sense to outsource to a agency than to hire someone full time. And I was like,
yeah,
why the hell am I not the agency? So I decided to start my own, right? I'm already out here outsourcing to talent and having them like do the work while I'm going. So bump corporate America. Corporate America need to call me, boo.
Yep.
Where we're at, like, we're now at this stage where now we are, as an organization, YKMB produces all the marketing visuals and assets for varying corporate events. So again, tying it back to that nightlife, tying it back to corporate America. And there was a time where like I was working in the trade show departments of organizations, working in the, you know, corporate event planning sections of varying corporate organizations and like really like making very impactful designs for them that really affected their sales numbers and bottom line. And it was like, well, it's time for me to take those metrics and tell somebody else about them.
Heck yeah.
So now like we have like such an impressive client list that it's kind of like,
you
buy from us or not. And I'm actually really proud of that.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
I found a way to even make the organization as a whole so much more sustainable and so much more scalable. One of our biggest differentiating factors, they're like, oh, you own a marketing agency. And I'm like, no. We own a graphic design agency, right? And for our graphic design clients, we also offer social media management. But we don't offer that to people, at least at this time. I'm thinking about changing it in 2023. Yeah. It depends on if my business advisors convince me we're going to meet in New York this month. Sorry, not this month. This is November. So next month. But yeah, if they convince me to like make it like a public facing offering. But right now, the only thing we offer to the general public, like people who we don't know like that, is graphic design services. If we feel like you, like we rock with you, like you the homie, like it's an ideal fit, not just from like a what we provide for you, but like we like you. Like it's important. It's important for me.
Yeah.
For our clients to be people who we want to work with.
That's not important. Me,
but also our team, right? Like that can provide like a positive and healthy work environment for us. We're not gonna put ourselves in the position to like bring on more intense working partnerships with people that require much more detail oriented relationship. If we have to rock with you, like we're not for everybody, and that's okay.
Especially with social media, because most social media management people are very particular.
Bump being particular, we have to have a very specific level of trust, right? Because
yeah,
this is your face outside. my guy. Like, there are people, there might be a couple people, you know, in the comments going like, we hate X company name. And you have to trust us to go in there and be like, number one, have the right response. And number two, escalate it accordingly. Right. So it's a whole different vibe. Nonetheless, we are a graphic design agency first, social media management agency. Not even second, maybe like fourth.
you like the graphic design part the most, which is very fun because
it's not even about fun. It's about providing a very specific service that saves our clients time and money and allowing them to be able to trust us as experts within our field. Because we're experts in social media management too, but I don't even know why I'm talking about it because it ain't for everybody. Like,
it's not.
We're not, even like, even now, like, let's say if we took on a social media management client that wasn't our client previously as a graphic design client, they had to have been referred. I'm not telling them otherwise.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's not a thing. It's not like they have to come in already trusting us as experts because they've already seen what we've done for someone else and they've gotten that firsthand testimonial. We don't have to like push it on them. It's just like when they're coming, they're ready to go. They're like, all right, so are you going to send us the invoice or not?
And word of mouth is the best thing. You know, I always say that that's
the only thing about word of mouth is is not always scalable. And so in terms of what we're talking about, again, the bread and butter of our business, it's the graphic design, right? Mm-hmm. We can show people what we did. We can tell them about what we did, right? When it comes to social media, it's so much things going on in the background that like, if you ain't hear it firsthand, it's like you never heard it at all. I don't even know how I managed to. Go ahead, ask your questions.
No, you're fine.
I'm taking notes.
You're good. Why did you say that Canva, you don't like Canva, you prefer Adobe for graphic design?
So, and it's funny because a lot of people confuse my relationship with Canva. I think Canva is an amazing tool. I think Canva, it provides access to varying entities to kind of get the kind of quick, low budget turnaround that they may need, especially if like you're a smaller business just starting up, like being able to kind of like facilitate that, create those design assets that you don't have money to do, but you have time to do. Because I tell people all the time, if you don't have money, you have time, you got to pick one. Either you're going to do it yourself or you're going to pay some money to do it. And that's what it is. Yep. Give me your time. And if you don't have, again, money, you better have time. So Canva provides this resource, this low budget resource for people who have time and not money. However, it is also responsible for creating some of the ugliest things out there in the world. And not just aesthetically, but from a consumer digestion perspective, sometimes it's very ineffective because everybody thinks they're a designer. They know nothing about color theory. They know nothing about the customer journey. They know nothing about the customer response because those aren't things that they study. You're like, oh, this is pretty, right? Mm-hmm. For me, it's funny. I had a conversation with a client today, and they do major events, right? They do events for Apple, the NFL, like all these different things, and we provide those resources for them, the visual resources that they can put together to basically produce those events, whether it's signing, advertising, visual assets, emails, websites, landing pages, all these things. And they were like, hey, this particular booklet, like this is the program booklet, pardon me, it was changing so frequently that we didn't have a problem with you guys as a team, but we were getting the feedback from the client. So like furiously and ferociously, we wanted to be able to edit ourselves. So they were like, can this be built in Canva so that we can like take the 5 minutes to change it because it feels more worth our time to take the 5 minutes to make this text update than to send it back to you to make this like text update. And we're getting like, let's say 50 text updates every day up until and it's like a month out. Absolutely, we can create design, lay out this amazing template for you that you can make these very small tweaks to and feel empowered to have control over your specific work environment to deliver the best results for your clients in the most timely and effective way. Nothing wrong if you use Canva that way. But if you want to jump into Canva and pretend like you're a designer, go ahead. Fail if you want to, but you're not going to fail on my regard. Like,
true.
You're not going to sit here and like create a, you know, a Facebook ad and think you did something special because you used a template. Like, that Facebook ad might not work for your audience. Your audience might not be receptive to those visuals.
That's true.
Receptive to that layout. And I mean, we don't necessarily write content for you, but we'll give you feedback, right? We'll say, hey, just want to let you know, this is what's actually happening in that market space and that vertical. And this is kind of the direction you may want to go if you want to be more impactful. Our web design services, also not something that like we offer to everybody. We don't got the time for people who think, oh, well, we could just go to Fiverr and do, well, then take your ass to Fiverr then.
Well, Fiverr is a little different now because Fiverr is okay if you already kind of got a basis of how to design and stuff. But when it comes down to in-depth,
everything works. Canva clearly works because it's a thriving business. Fiverr clearly works as a thriving business. Everything works. You just have to know what works for you. If you don't know anything about this,
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Design, if you don't already have an established brand look and feel, where are you going? Where are you going?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to need some guidance.
Where are you there? And you're not going to get that by going to Fiverr or deciding to drum up a template on Canva.
You got to know how to tell them what to do too, because those guys aren't doing your content. You know, you got to do your own content. You got to do your own thing.
They're doing what you told them to do. And sometimes, guess what? You tell them foolishness.
Yeah, and sometimes they don't come out the way you want.
You're not a subject matter expert within that framework. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas I am. To be honest, I could probably go on Fiverr and give people instruction and get a bomb ass result. But I've also been working in the design space for 12 plus years. We're not the same people. And it's okay.
I understand.
Like my real estate developer people, they build $1 billion businesses. Like they're, you know, one unit in the building that they're selling is $3 million. Mm. I don't know anything about that. I know how to sell it. I know how to market it. But you want me to work on development? Nah, that ain't my thing.
No, that's not your side.
Y'all can take my money though if you want me to invest. I got you.
I know that's right.
But I'm not gonna sit here and pretend like I'm the subject expert on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the time Fiverr is like getting you a start, you know what I mean? Because I've used Fiverr sometimes. This is almost like a starter up situation.
I tell people,
you know,
all the
time. Be knowledgeable.
I tell people all the time. I literally say it all the time. I understand. I had to start, right? Everybody has to start. And if you have to DIY it to start and to like have a proof of concept and know that your business is valuable and I can actually make money. Ugly things sell all the time. Mm-hmm. All ugly things make money all day, every day.
Oh yeah, I've seen some business ideas.
You know, it doesn't have to be like Apple level design to sell. But if you want to sell more, if you want to grab a hold of a different target audience, if you want to increase your prices, you gotta up the game a little bit.
But that's a different
scenario than getting proof of concept. Mm-hmm. Proof of concept? Go on ahead. Get that fiber. Go on ahead and camera that thing together. DIY. But like when you're ready to grow your business, increase your sales, when you're ready to really lock in on that target audience, that's when you call people like me.
That's right. You go ahead and call Yannick and she'll hook y'all up. And that's what it's about. When you get the money, get where you want to go, contact her. You know, if you got a business credit card, you can contact her, you know, because there's different ways. You know, people got to understand you don't have to always use your own money. You can always get a business credit card.
Grants. That's another thing I tell people all the time. So sometimes people reach out to me, right? I'm real big on, do you have funds to invest in the growth of your business? If the answer is no, I refer you to several business financial experts that I know who love my referrals and show them preferred attention to get them the funds that they need to invest in their business. Do not come over here telling me you have $100. I can't help you.
Oof, yeah, that's not enough because I know how much time it could take, you know.
Get that Canva investment.
Start off.
Once you get that proof of concept and you start getting money in the door, then you can holler at the professional and be like, all right, fix me up. I just made $100. I'm trying to make $10,000. What's up?
And that's how it should be because the solopreneur bus is getting late, you know, getting outdated. It's hard to be a solopreneur because it's a lot that goes into it, you know, and I think that it's okay to utilize a company that is going to do the work for you. Now, what do you think about ads? Like, do you think that businesses need to consider getting ads done? I know you touched on social media, but some people are like, man, I want to do ads to make money. I just want to sit here and hope people come to me.
Okay, so here's the thing about ads. Ads specifically are not required for every business. However, every business needs to create some kind of inbound or outbound traffic system to get new leads or clients. Now, there's like, you call like nets or spheres, right? Like nets is like posting on social media, doing podcasts, having, you know, doing talks, doing presentations, all of that, right? Then there's spheres where it's like, you know, actually like sticking into it, like who you want, which is like having a referral program for like existing clients, you know, where it's like actually doing retargeting ads to like the people who visit your website, where it's actually like, you know, uploading a lookalike audience to Facebook and saying, find people that look like this, because these are people that buy from me. So I don't know if ads are required for every single business, but what I do know is a sustainable, reliable way of getting new leads every single month is required. Mm-hmm. Now, people do ads, and I did a podcast about this because I have a podcast too. So it's called Events is 365, and actually we talked about this with one of our guests. We were talking about like, some people say they try ads and they didn't work. It's not that the ads didn't work. What it was is that you didn't understand who your target audience was. You didn't understand what the problem is that you're actually trying to solve for them. And you didn't, sometimes you didn't spend enough money. So it's like a couple of different things. And then maybe where you're sending them to does not line up with the message that you started with. So like, you posted an ad about how you can, you know, save the world, but then when they clicked the link, all they saw was a landing page about how you're going to kill people.
Oh, yeah.
It's not lining up. Sometimes the messages don't line up, and people don't realize that fixing that little problem changes the entire game for them.
That's true. And Google Ads has better way for targeting too. I feel like Google Ads has the best targeting system out there. I mean, I know it's expensive, a little bit more expensive than Facebook and Instagram, but I think it's worth it if you're trying to get into that game.
You know where it's really expensive? And I don't even want to give them a plug, but LinkedIn ads are expensive ads, but they're really targeted. Like, you can do this thing called a Boolean search. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Google, go to YouTube University, look it up. B-O-O-L-E-A-N, free game. I'm not charging y'all. Okay, do a look up a Boolean search. There's this guy named Ravi Abobala who does a really great job of like teaching people how to do Boolean searches that work really well for us too. He's actually the one that taught it to me. And you can get some really, like, you can spend $45 per click, which is high as hell. Ooh. But with that $45, you're making $1,000.
So who well, hey, shoot. I haven't tried LinkedIn ads. That's a good idea.
Me saying making $1,000, by the way, is generous because like our minimum entry is $2,500. So again, it's $45. Who cares?
Yeah, that's not bad to me.
Right. Like that's what people like to call the return on your investment.
And that's what, ROAS, right? Yeah. Also that too. Because that return, man, you got to make sure. Because, there's so much Facebook training now. I took a Facebook training course, and I learned a lot. I think it's important that people take advantage of these free trainings right now. Because they weren't there a few years ago when I first started business.
I started spending clearly way too much money with Facebook. Because I remember once upon a time, I'm going to say 2012, when, like, companies I was working for, they were spending a lot of money with Facebook, and so Facebook would invite us to their offices, like their local offices, and like teach us and train us in all these different things, like what the visual should look like, what the ad should target, this, that, and the third. And I realized I was spending too much money with Facebook now, because now they're setting up meetings with me, and I'm like, oh, I don't like this. This means I spend too much money with y'all, because if y'all are willing to invest human resources in talking to me, it means that I'm spending too much money with y'all.
I felt the same way. They was trying to do a consultation with me. I said, oh.
I was like, I don't know if I like this. This is...
But then you get on with them sometime. They don't even know. They know less than you, some of the Facebook specialists. So,
all right, well, we gonna find out.
I'm not trying to knock y'all Facebook specialists, but I'm just saying.
But here's the thing. I wholeheartedly believe you, right? Because if this is a thing, because remember in my head, but the company that I was working for, they're spending like $500,000 a month. I'm not spending that.
Mm-mm. Oh, no.
Me and either. So if they are bringing in people, right, to service people who are spending like $5,000 a month on ads, that means that there has to be a lower hourly threshold, which means that there's probably less resources put into that person, not just from an educational perspective, but financially. And so, to be honest, you could knock it if you want to, because it is what it is. But yeah, it's kind of also a reflection of you get what you pay for, because that's also what that is, right? If we're spending millions of dollars a year, we're not getting the low tier Facebook advisor. We getting top tier.
Ah, okay, I see what you're saying. That makes sense.
We're getting flown out to California, baby.
Oh shoot! Well, let me look. All right.
You're like, let me spend $1 million. No, the hell no.
Let me try to find it. No.
Don't do that.
So what does your morning routine look like for an entrepreneur? There's so many things people hear about, like get up at 4 a.m. and jog for an hour, and then 5 a.m. you're calling people and stuff, getting ahead of the game. Like what does it look like for you?
All right, I'm gonna share my morning routine, but I also want to share this. I high key feel like early morning routines don't mean a damn thing. What is important is making sure you carve out uninterrupted time to work. It just so happens that early in the morning, most people are sleeping, so that's the easiest time to not be distracted. But if, like me, you're a single woman with no children and you live alone, it's easy to turn off the devices and have, 3-4 hours of uninterrupted time in the middle of the day. When I tell my team I'm not to be disturbed, it means I'm not to be disturbed. Figure it out. Handle it with the resources I've given you. Handle it with the standard operating procedures that I know you have access to. But here is where it gets a little weird, right? So it almost gets a little hypocritical, because I wake up around 5-6 o'clock in the morning. again, there are days when I don't do that. Like Monday, I think Monday I didn't work until like 10 p.m. I started working. I didn't do anything all day, but I required that for my body. I need to reset. But typically I wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. I go work out on the beach. I live in Jamaica, by the way. Right now I'm not in Jamaica, but I'm in Florida right now helping my mom with some stuff because I'm a good daughter. But when I'm in Jamaica, wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, talk to my grandma for a little bit. And when I say a little bit, I mean like a little bit. And then I head over to the beach and I work out. I work out for about an hour. And then I kind of like hang out for another hour. Sometimes I swim a couple laps, somewhere between like 1 and 2 miles, depending on like what's actually happening out there. There's some waters that actually have crocodiles. So I'm a big scaredy cat, especially if I see a lot of seaweed and I can't figure out if it's a crocodile or a seaweed. I just be like, all right, turning around.
I know that's right.
And then the night before, I've already drawn up my to-do list. So I'll show you, like, this is a computer, but like I draw up my to-do list. And
that's important.
So by the time I get back home, sometimes I eat breakfast, sometimes I don't. The only reason why I've been eating breakfast these days is because my grandma complains that I'm not eating and she's worried that I'm going to die. Instead of just thinking like, your granddaughter just fasting in the day. And then she's like, you're going to get bad stomach. And I'm like, bro, I've been doing this for a long time. Anyway, so sometimes I eat.
Grandmas do that.
She likes to make breakfast for me and lunch for me and dinner for me. So I let her do all those things. My mom tells me I'm spoiled, which I'm fine with. Did I tell you I live with my grandma? So I live with my grandma. No one believes me half the time. I'm like, no, I live with my grandma. She's a recent widow. Why would I leave her live by herself? I can go live with my grandma. We can hang out.
Jamaica's beautiful.
Yeah, and so there's that. And then go through my to-do list. So like the first, so between 10 and noon, most times it's me like chugging through my to-do list. And then there are meetings seated throughout. Whenever I don't block off that first 2 hours to get through my to-do list, it ends up that I have a long day. So then I work until like 8, 9 o'clock, sometimes 10 p.m. And then I go to bed around like 10:30. I take lunch around 12, 1 o'clock. And I hang out with my grandma downstairs and like eat something again.
Eat all the good food, Jamaican food that I want. Fried conch.
I don't like conch.
What?
Nope. Mm-mm.
That's my favorite.
It's a thing. It's really a thing. Not as much of a thing as it is in the Bahamas, but it's a thing. And I'm just like, yeah, no. Lobster and fish me, please. You can leave the
home. I like that too.
And then around 5 o'clock, I eat dinner.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Oh, you asked me about the morning routine. I'm just giving you the whole day.
Well, that's fine because somebody might want to know your whole day.
So then 6 o'clock, depending on the mood, sometimes I will go for a 3 to 5 mile walk with one of my neighbors around the community. And then I'll come back and then I'll work again. That normally takes like an hour. Then I'll come back and then I'll work again until, 10 o'clock.
That sounds like a fun schedule.
Yeah. But that's like Monday through Thursday. So Fridays, I try not to work at all. My team laughs at me because I often do work. on Fridays. Like, I do, like, the things I do on Fridays, like podcasts, like podcast interviews, reviewing projects, stuff like that, I'll do on a Friday. But I don't do meetings on Fridays. Like, the planet has to be burning, like, scorched earth type thing for me to do a meeting on Friday. Or maybe I had to do some traveling in the middle of the week. Like, I'll work on Friday. But, like, I try not to work on Friday. Saturday and Sunday, though, sis focuses on herself. Sis, you know, goes to rivers, hangs out with her friends, you know, enjoys her love life that people think is non-existent, which is fine. I don't care.
That's an opinion of some people of a working woman. Like, she doesn't have time for a relationship, but we do. We know how certain people know how to make time for what they really want to make time for. There's certain time, there's ways to do it.
Yeah, but then there's also, like, even like, so I had dinner with one of like a client, like an old client today, and then I had drinks after that dinner with another older client. And when I'm with them, my phone is off. Like, I mean, not like literally off, but it's on do not disturb and it's in my purse.
And that's how it should be.
Then I set an alarm because I had to be here for this podcast, right? So I set an alarm and I let everybody know, like, at this time I'm not available. And then the alarm goes off and I'm like, okay, all right, talk to you later, bye.
That's right.
But when I'm with them, I'm there and I'm present and I'm like nurturing and appreciating that relationship. And it's the same with my personal life. Like, when I'm with my guy, I'm with my guy. When I'm with my family, I'm with my family. And that's it. I'm done.
I like that, you know, because it's important to be in the moment with everything you do, because life is indeed short. So you want to enjoy every moment you're in. And I like that you said that, because that self-care is important. And I'm always big on self-care on this podcast. So I like that you said what you do on the weekends and your self-care and stuff. Entrepreneurs are not working 24/7.
I'm a person and I don't think that I don't think I should ever have to sacrifice living and enjoying life to make money.
There we go. And that's how I feel too.
It's really and truly not necessary.
It's not, because the true happiness is what it is.
Yeah, even in grind time, right? Like, people are talking now about like soft life versus hard life. I get the concept, but like, I don't do soft or hard life. I just do life, right?
That's
like,
right.
There's sometimes where you have to buckle down, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's sometimes where you can just like live, but it's really about finding like the right mixture of that for you. Because, you know, my guy, he comes with me to the beach every morning too, right? But like after 10 a.m., we don't talk. That's my grind time.
Hitting
text message in the night though, like, you good? Yeah, mom, alright. Alright, cool.
And that's how it should be. Like, they should respect your time, you know what I mean? And I think sometimes it's hard for women now in a dating game to find that type of guy, because it's like, oh, they don't understand. Rather, you're 9-to-5 or an entrepreneur. Woo! Some guys get a little intimidated. They don't want you to,
it's
you
funny.
Know, do a lot.
I know if he listens to this podcast, I'm going to get a phone call and get a whole heap of slack. Because I had an ex-boyfriend. The boyfriend before this one. And he's wealthy, right? So he was just like, you don't make enough time for me, so I'm going to pay you $7,000 a month and you can stop working. And I'm like,
okay.
I said, no. Because I'm not your wife. What's going to happen when we're not together anymore? I'm going to have to rebuild my career. It would have been a whole different thing if I was your wife. Shout out to alimony if you leave me. Like, it's a whole different ball game. But you're not committing to me for a lifetime. You're committing to me for right now. So, no.
And some people like their work, so, yeah.
I don't have a problem. I like what I do for a living. But there are days where I'm like, I would love to, like, not work and have someone take care of me. And what I'm also not going to do is set myself up to be, like, looking crazy when I'm living on the couch with a bunch of girls in a 5-bedroom apartment and there's 20 of us.
Oh, nobody got time for that. We still want to enjoy life and have our sanctions.
Yeah, you know? So I'd rather go to work every day and have you complain that I don't make enough time for you. You can't tell me that I don't make enough time for you when I tell you from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'm available to ride bikes with you and you show up at 9:30. That's on you, my guy.
Yeah, And that makes sense. I think a man should respect the woman. And the woman should respect the man. You want a man to take you out and stuff, he's going to work, you know? And yeah. Just understand that. Have some things going on for yourself, your own hobbies. So I don't want to hold you on too long because I know you've been had a long day. But I have a few more questions. So what books that do you recommend to the audience and why? Like, what are your favorite books?
So I got some of them here and I'm just going to pull them out. Oh my gosh, one of my favorite books is not here. I loaned it to my friend. But it's not called The Sliding Scale. I'm remembering in a second. Then the other one is The Four Agreements. That's one of my favorite books.
I love The Four Agreements.
I read that every year at the beginning of the year. That's like a refresher for me, just like to remind myself. And then another really great one that I can think of is Clockwork. Clockwork is actually really great. Another one, Profit First. Profit First changed the entire way I structured my business. That's a really great book. Profit First. Mike Michalowicz wrote that one. I'm surprised I actually remember his name because I never remember those things. Oh my gosh. Wait. It's not called Sliding Scale.
Try to think if I know it because I read a lot, so I'm trying to think if I know it.
Oh my gosh. Listen, no, I had to go to the Google. Hold on. And like I literally was gonna go to my library, but I loaned the book to a friend. She's in this business. In this building. It's called called The Slight Edge.
The Slight Edge.
It's called The Slight Edge.
Okay.
So that's actually another good book that I think everybody should read. It definitely talks about like compounding, effort, and it's like gives like kind of like a lot of encouragement for like entrepreneurs in general. Mm-hmm. I think those are some of like my favorites that I can think of. Ooh, another good one now, and I've been doing like these, I call them Yanni book clubs on YouTube. Don't laugh at me. I think I'm YouTube famous now because I have like 1,000 subscribers, and I know that's a lot, but I think
that's
I'm
a big deal.
I am convinced I'm YouTube famous now.
Is it?
Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins is like a really, really good
one. Oh, I like David Goggins. I like him.
My mom's calling me and I don't know why. Anywho.
I'm gonna wrap it up, but
No. I actually have this slated until 8:30. So, you know, she'll be okay. I'm just gonna be like, what's up? Question mark. Right. I just remembered what it is. So she just recently became an entrepreneur. And she wants me to help. So she did an LLC, but she wants me to help her set up her DBA for something. And because she was sick, she was like, yeah, should I just have the lawyer do it? And I'm like, bro, it's like 30 minutes of your time and $200. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to pay the lawyer $1,000? Like, just come to my house. Anyway,
she got you. I can see if she didn't have you.
Right. So that's one of the many things I'm helping my mom out with right now. She's starting her new business and she has her child as her like help.
Woohoo, mom.
Anywho, so don't worry. I texted her and told her she could just come over. Anywho, so those are the books that I think are like really good. I think those books by themselves are actually really life changing.
Yeah, those are big. The Four Agreements is definitely a big book. Yeah, I didn't read The Profit First yet. I'm gonna check that out myself because
Profit First literally changed the entire structure of my business financially. And there's a thing that they talk about. Your business, well, not they, but he, where they talk about your business sustaining you is the view sustaining the business. That's the biggest takeaway that I got from that book. And again, it changed the entire structure, an entire outlook of my business. Because even like right now, like I feel like I unapologetically take myself out buy myself nice things. Yeah. And that's because I have now restructured how my business pays me instead of always thinking, oh, I need to invest more money in the business. No, sis, the business is there to sustain you. You are not there to sustain the business. What are you doing? Relax.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like that. I like that. And I was going to ask, what made you want to move to Jamaica? Because I know the U.S. got a lot going on. A lot of people are moving overseas.
All right. So it's going to get a little weird. Do not say, okay?
Okay, good.
I was about to say, because you actually have to agree to this. I need verbal agreement. So if you do it, I can chastise you on your own show. So my dad died on March 20th of this year. My brother was murdered on May 2nd of this year. And I was like, yeah, America's ghetto. I'm going home. That's why I moved. I've always been looking to like leave America. America has like provided a lot of like resources to me and like access to things that I would not have had if I solely like lived and grew up in Jamaica. So I grew up there, right? But like my adulthood was spent in America, which again gave me access to resources, to people, to things that I wouldn't have had just living in Jamaica. However, the life I was living in Jamaica was good. Like, I'm living in the same house I grew up in right now in Jamaica. Like,
that's amazing.
I'm never hungry. Like, I was never, I mean, sure, I was bored, but I was a kid, you know? There were like, you know, I was about to go to certain places or do certain things or hang out with certain people, but that's what you do to your children, right? You give them regulations so they can grow up in a very specific way and learn specific things and all that. But like for me, Jamaica was peace, right? My grandma, circle back. So my dad is actually my grandpa, not like my like biological father, but like my grandpa and my grandma, they raised me. So now my grandma's a widow. My little brother was my grandma's favorite and I was my grandpa's favorite. So we've now lost our favorite persons in the whole world. Like, I don't pretend like there's anything wrong with people, like parents having favorites. Like, people who think their parents don't have favorites are ridiculous. I was my grandpa's favorite and he was my favorite person in the whole wide world, even aside from my brother. And then my little brother was my best friend and that was my grandma's favorite person in the whole wide world, apart from my mom. So we both lost our favorite people. So it was like, well, why aren't we together? So it was just like, all right, well, I'm gonna go live with my grandma. Jamaica provides peace and stability and I get to provide her with a familiar face.
True.
So that's how I ended up moving back to Jamaica. And Everybody just had to deal with it, right? Like COVID had already trained all my clients on remote work. I had already, like, all my clients are now remote because why was I going to go ahead and go back to paying rent and overhead for no reason when everybody in the world has now become accustomed to us working from home? No, like, it's fine. Everybody, no, we're not going back to the office. Work from anywhere in the world. I don't care. Then we started hiring people from anywhere in the world. So it was just like, all right, well, cool. It was like, so why am I in America? I could be in Jamaica with my grandma. No.
I know that's right. Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I like that you made that decision, you know, for both of you.
And now I get to experience Jamaica differently, right? I get to experience Jamaica, number one, as an adult and not poor. Because, you know, that's so horrible how I said that. But like, when you're a kid,
When you're a kid, you don't got to
do what your parents tell you to do, and you go where your parents tell you to go. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, my mother, when she was in Jamaica, took us to a luxury resort every weekend. Like,
that's nice.
Because that's the industry she used to work in. I used to fly from one side of the island to the other side of the island every other weekend. That's not something to like throw through the window. That's like a, like, wait, you used to do what? Yeah, no, there was a time where I used to think that it wasn't a big deal. I was like, yeah, no,
that's a big deal.
My mom every weekend. I took it for granted. I was just like, yeah, sometimes I'm on every weekend. I didn't realize how great of a life they provided to me until I came to America and was like, oh, we're poor here. Like, I don't like it.
Yeah, the U.S. got a lot going on.
Well, because
I was considering moving to Africa myself, Africa or Dubai.
Yeah, but like, well, the thing about America is that, well, I don't, I can't use the buy in this situation. But the thing about America is that the cost of living is so high that, like, you have to make your own.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Been here. And that sounds really bad, but keep in mind, I'm a Jamaican kid who's never had to... She had to make her own bed because apparently you have to be taught to make those things. That's what families do. She had to learn to make her own bed. I learned to wash her own clothes. I learned to iron on those things. But in reality, we had this housekeeper named Miss Agatha. She's been with us for a long time. She was like with us like when my mom was also going to high school. She's like, it's all right, baby. Don't worry. Me wash them for you. You know, like it was kind of
you really had that different type of help that most people, your peers, weren't used to.
Right. And so then you come here and you're like, this is ghetto. Like, Did I just open my own door? This is ghetto. This is, child.
I love the transition. I like the story because it is different in different cultures and how somebody grew up compared to someone else.
And so I was on another podcast talking about like the immigrant experience in America. And I was saying to them, like, sometimes you go into corporate America and they think that like you're showing off, especially if you just come and like you're like sharing your life experience. They're like, there's no way that that was your life. Why are you in America? And it's like, we're here because our countries don't have very specific opportunities in very specific industries. In order to have the ability to grow in an industry that our country doesn't thrive in, we have to go somewhere else.
Yep.
But the life that we had in our countries with our families are sometimes significantly better. I'm not going to say that there are not instances where that's not the case, but I can't speak from that place because I didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pretend like I grew up in a shack somewhere. My little brother, you know, rest his soul. That's actually my first time actually saying God rest his soul out loud. Because I normally talk about him like he's alive. Force a habit, right? But like, he used to do this thing where he used to talk about like, you know, being impoverished and like struggling and all of these things. And it took a really long time for me to understand why he would do that. And I talked to him and realized he wasn't talking about his life, right? Because his great-grandfather was the prime minister of the country. So I know he wasn't talking about his life. He was talking about the lives of his friends and using his voice and his song to talk about their struggles. But like he would talk about them like they're their own. And we would be like, you use your mom's credit card to put gas in your car. What are you saying? Like you're not struggling. You know what I mean? But in his head, it's like, oh, well, we don't have a housekeeper here, so we're poor.
Wow, that's interesting. So I was gonna ask, how has COVID changed your world? Like, how did it rock your world? Did it make it better or worse?
COVID, and I used to feel guilty saying it, but COVID has made my life significantly better. 2020 year was the year that my business took off in a completely different way. In terms of the amount of money that I was making, in terms of the amount of access I had to people, in terms of giving me the ability or forcing me to think differently about how I could make money and give myself access to new leads, new resources, new clients, and like change the way I thought and operated. And I think the biggest thing was cutting down on my overhead. So I'm also a fine artist, right? And sometimes I forget to like make it sound pretty because I'm an internationally exhibited fine artist, right? And it's totally a big deal, but sometimes I forget. And when COVID like just, you know, started, I had this art studio where I was doing like these painting classes. And clearly that wasn't happening. And I think I had like two months left on that lease, but I was selling like somewhere like $5,000 to $10,000 in paintings out of my living room every month for like 4 months in a row. And then my design work was picking up so much. Sis wasn't even sleeping. Sis was just working. Sis had so much work. She was just like, whoop, whoop, whoop. And I was making money and I was stacking up. So it was kind of just like, it got to the point where I was like, I have enough money to hire people now. I have enough money to pay for advertising. I can do whatever I want. This is royalty. And like, in addition to that, I also had so much time by myself. Because I was one of those people who, when they were like lockdown, I took it really seriously because I have asthma and I have a heart condition. And so I was very like, I can't have visitors. No, you can't come over. I'm not coming outside. And I was locked away for like, probably like a good 5 months. And then one of my friends died and he had like a similar, he was doing everything that I was doing. He wasn't going anywhere. He was going to the grocery store. I'm back home. He went to the grocery store, got COVID and died. And I was like, oh, well, if I'm gonna die anyway. And then I started going outside again, like nothing happened. At the time I lived in Atlanta. So by the 4th of July, I was outside with my 4th of July. I was like, okay, guys, if we can all quarantine, we can hang out. Because they had already been outside. I was like, please, just quarantine for 2 weeks. Everybody just quarantine for 2 weeks. And then 4th of July, we'll all be outside. I don't want the first time I go outside, I'm going to die. Because I remember, like, I'm inundated with all these things in the news. And, you know, people being high risk and all these things. And I'm just And I'm just, like, worried I'm going to die. Anyway, so that was, like, my first time. But, like, even before then, like, I was, like, I don't know. There were so many. Like, even I ran 10 miles for the first time in my entire life during lockdown because I would wake up every morning and, like, work. And then around midday when the sun is blazing hot, I'd be outside and I'd start with 1 mile. And I started 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles, 5 miles. Then I started running. Then I started running 6 miles, then running 7 miles. And then, like, got to the point where, like, my friends and I, we had, like, the Nike Run app and like Fitbit, and they were like, "You need what the hell?"
Oh, dang!
You're like, "Why? Why do you have like 5 million steps?" And I was like, "I'm just walking. but I'm walking 5 miles, like, you know." Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Oh." So what has COVID really done for me? It gave me space and opportunity to think. Mm-hmm. An idea about how to improve my business. It gave me space to think about how to increase the leads in my business. It gave me space to execute. It gave me space to work on myself physically and mentally. And it also gave me space to really work on the relationships that matter to me. Like with my mom, my brother, my friend. You know, it gave me space to do all of that in the same 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it was crazy because even now, I've had to like take some of those lessons and realize the world won't end if I don't go to this party. The world won't end if I don't pick up this call. The world won't end.
Won't.
It will be just fine.
It'll be just fine. And I think that's what COVID taught a lot of people. It definitely taught me that. It definitely taught me to slow down. And I definitely changed my whole life during that time. It was some sad times, but it definitely changed my life for the better.
I'm not going to lie. Jamaica will change your life too with that because everything is slow. but it's funny because when I'm like locked in, like in Jamaica, I work in my bedroom. So I have like a little like desk set up in front of my bed. Like it's really nothing fancy. I have my bed and then I have my desk. And then like you see the rest of my room and there's like my little workspace. Like I have a it's a big desk, got the like big ring light, and I got like things and whatever. And in that moment, like in that space, I'm like super locked in. But then when I go outside, everybody's like, yeah, man, you wanna have a drink? You need what to eat for dinner? No, I'm going to church. Everybody's just like, easy breezy.
It's easy.
You know? So even like that, like it's funny because I try to like find the balance where Jamaica doesn't permeate my business mind too much, but on the weekends just permeates my entire body.
I love it. I love it. So what is a saying or quote that you go by?
Saying or quote that I go by? I don't know if I really go by any specific saying or quote, but like I guess something that I can think to myself, like, that I, like, I say to myself regularly is, it's going to be okay. it's going to be okay. And I say that because, again, I have shared about, like, my dad and my brother this year, and there are days where I didn't think I was going to be okay. Because those two people were, like, my lifeline. My grandpa is who I called whenever something good happened to me. And my little brother is who I use to benchmark how I would determine if I did a good thing or would I be okay if my brother did this? Would I want to set this example for him? Would I be embarrassed if I got arrested for this? Like, it's just like those two people were my benchmark, and then they just disappeared. And I'm still here. And it's like, how can they, like, not be here? And I'm still here, and it's okay. It's not okay. And then I was like, but it is. It is okay. Like, you're still here. Like, you still have to live life and figure out how to be productive and how to contribute to society and, like, how to achieve goals that make you happy. Because you don't have anybody else to make happy anymore. It's just you.
Oh, man.
So I guess that's kind of where I'm at with that one.
I still like that. It's okay. It's gonna be okay. And people, sometimes it's that simple. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah,
that's all you can say.
I have one that my grandpa used to tell me all the time. And this is like I shared this on another podcast too. My grandfather used to say this all the time to me, and he said, "Without money, you're nothing." Which I tell people all the time on the high level sounds really vain and really bad. Like, sounds really materialistic. But what he would always mean or express thereafter was, if someone controls your purse strings, they control you. And so you have no control over what you want to do in life, right? And so your boss, your parents, like, whoever is contributing financial to your life tells you what to do and when to do it and how to do it. But the minute when you control it, and you can be like, I can walk away from this and still be self-sustaining. It's a whole different ballgame. And he reminded me of that frequently. And it's funny because when he died, and I didn't really give it too much thought, right? Like, so he left my brother money and my mother money, and, like, you know, even like his children, like my uncle, everybody got money. I didn't get any money. Mm-hmm. And I never noticed it. I didn't notice that I was the only one who didn't get money. Mm. Mind you, everybody knew, and everybody still knows, I'm the favorite. That's just facts. I'm the favorite. And I never even thought about the fact that he never left me any money. Never thought about it. But I gave it some thought the other day. I was like, wait a minute. Because then my brother died, and then my mom was like, I'm going to give you the money that your grandfather left for him. I was like, wait, so everybody got money except for me? And my grandma was like, your grandfather always said you knew how to make money, so you never needed that. But you don't like to save the money. And be like, I don't know how to make money, but you don't put on none. Which, by the way, is not exactly true. But, you know, I always knew how to, like, find a way to, like, tell everybody to jump off a cliff and die because I want to control my own life. Anyway.
Wow. I love that. I love that message.
That's a rabbit hole.
No, it's fine because my show is all about stories and getting deep behind the veil, you know, like getting deep. Because, you know, a lot of times people have small talk. Nobody really knows people's stories. So that's why I did this podcast, really, is to go behind the veil. What's going on in people's lives? So I like that you said that because we're living in a capitalistic world and there's things that hold people to certain things they don't like or bound to people they don't like and make them miserable because of money. Yeah. So it is important to be self-efficient. I love it. I love that your grandpa left that. So before we wrap it up, I just want to say thank you for showing up and thank you for being here on my podcast. I'm so grateful. I mean, I love your message. You're a powerful woman. Please support her. And where can people book with you? Like, where can people get your services and what events you have coming up?
If you want to work with me, even if, like, let's say you don't want to work with me. Let's say you have, like, $0 and 0 cents, but you, like, want to sit down and have a consultation with me. If you are a listener or a viewer of this specific podcast, you are free to head over to the YKMD.com and click the book now, like work with me button. I can't remember what it's called right now. Don't judge me. We test out those buttons all the time. But click a button, schedule a time. Let us know that you heard about us on this podcast. And instead of 15 minutes, we'll give you 30 minutes, like complimentary of time to evaluate your business, your marketing resources and assets, and figure out the best solution for you. And it's not going to be like a pressure thing. We're not going to try to force you into buying from us. We'll like literally tell you what the solution is, and you can go ahead and take that and work with anybody else. Like, you know, it's all good in the neighborhood. There's enough money for everybody. It's no big deal. I mean, like I said, and even if you don't have money, you better have time. So if you want to take the information we give you and go try to do it yourself, you can do that too. It's all good in the neighborhood.
Well, that's a blessing. That's good that you at least giving somebody a chance to chat with you and learn from you. So that's a blessing. So thank you for that. And I just want to thank everyone else for tuning in. I had a great time talking with Unique, and I hope you all learned something and got valuable lessons and everything. And I just want to say peace. Make sure you subscribe, like, and share. And thanks for your time. And everybody be blessed.